Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Open your Bibles to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Hallelujah. We thank God for His Word. I'm going to begin at verse 15, and I'm going to end at verse 17. No, verse 18. And that is the beginning of the New Testament. Amen. Matthew 14, beginning at verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." I want to talk about trusting God with what you have. Trusting God with what you have. And I know that we have went over this passage of Scripture so many times, but I want you to know that when God bring a word into the place, He bring a word for a reason. And it doesn't matter how many times you may read a passage of Scripture, God will pull something out of that passage to allow you to see what He would have you to see. And first of all, I would like to say I'm the first partaker of what I'm giving you on today. Because at times we think that we're really trusting God. We think we got it all together. We think that everything is all good. But how many know that when things hit your home, when things come in your house and you think you're in the right place with God, then you find out, "God, I thought I was trusting you." It's easy to trust God when we have. But when we don't have, where's the same trust that we say that we have for God? So when I was looking at the Scripture, it kept standing out to me, "Bring them hither to me." So they only had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And can you imagine there's 5,000 people that needed to be fed? And Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." Come on, in the natural, we're saying you got 5,000 people. They're in a barren place. They're in an empty place. There's no food for them to get. And we're telling you how to solve the problem. Send them away and let them go get their own food before it gets too late. So that's how we do it in the natural. But how many know that we serve a supernatural God? And if He's a supernatural God and He's living on the inside of us, we are supernatural people. So we can't go on what we see in the natural. Because faith is believing in what you don't see. Faith is not believing in something that can be seen, because that's natural faith. That's your 5 senses. So Jesus said, "You know what, I'm going to teach you something on today. I'm going to teach you who you are now that you are in Christ Jesus." So Jesus said, "What do you have? 2 loaves and 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Now Jesus knew in the natural that can't feed all those people. But guess what they had to do? They had to turn over what they had and give it to Jesus. That's trusting Him. When you can turn over the little that you have and say, "God, this is all I have, but I trust you with what I have." And that thing deeply hurted me so much, because God was ministering to me, and He was letting me know, my people say they trust me, but they don't trust me, because they're not turning over to me the little that they have. It's easy for them to turn over something to me when they're not in a hard place, because they're not in that hard place. But one thing, too, that stuck out to me, these people did not know him the way that they did need to know him, but they were getting ready to know him. But compassion had to come from Jesus first. In order for Jesus to do what God was allowing him to do, he had to have compassion on that multitude. And we talked about having compassion, having pity, and having mercy on people. When we have pity and we have mercy on people, there's nothing too hard for God. So that's why our heart has to stay open and receptive when it's dealing with people. The disciples, the learners of Christ, they followed him. But yet their compassion was not where his was. But when Jesus told them, give me what you have, they had to bring it to Jesus. So then he showed me some other scriptures that we're all familiar with. Y'all know in 1 Kings 17, dealing with the widow woman. And the thing was, she was a widow woman. There was no husband there. There was no husband there to help her. There was no helpmate. And at the time when God sent Elijah to her, how many of you know that when we're in our time of need, when it looked like it ain't going to work, that's when God already done worked it out, because God already know your need before you in the need of what you need. And that's why I tell you I love him so much. So when we get in a crunch, we got to say, God, you already got this, because you already knew what I was going to need before that need came. So he sent Elijah to that widow woman, and he had to send a man that he could trust carrying his word. He had to send a man that would look beyond faults and see the need. So when Elijah got there, this widow woman, she was ready to give up and die. You may be at a place on this morning that you're ready to give up and die. You may be in a place that you say, God, I've done all that I can do, and this is what I'm going to do right now. I'm just going to give up and die. But Elijah told her, he asked for water, but then he told her, bring me a cake. And she said, I have meal in a barrel and some oil, and I'm getting ready to make this up for me and my son, and we're going to eat it and die. Elijah heard what she said, but he said, go do what you said, but bring me the first cake. Let's just stop right there. How many that's serving God can see a widow woman with the little she got and tell her something like that? Do exactly what you said, but bring me the first cake. See, what Elijah was doing, he was teaching her a principle out of the word of God. First things first. You got to seek ye first the kingdom of God, his way of doing things, and then all of these things shall be added unto you. That's a promise from God. So this woman, she heard Elijah, and she had to respond from what Elijah said. So she had to put her trust in something that didn't look like it was enough being there. But this woman did what the word of God told her to do. Y'all know the story. After she'd done it, this woman had more than enough. But God said, how are you going to see more than enough if you never trust me with what you have? How are you going to see me multiply 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread if you don't give me what you have? Then he began to show me another widow woman. We're so familiar with these passages, but when we get in trouble, we don't meditate on them to know that's the same God. So we look at the other widow woman. Here come Elijah. And then they was getting ready to take her sons. But this woman knew her rights. That's why you got to know your rights in the kingdom of God. You got to know who you belong to and what belongs to you. And this woman began to tell Elijah, my husband was up under you. He was a prophet, meaning that he was learning up under Elijah. She began to talk about her husband was a good man. I'm paraphrasing this. And then Elijah, she said, they're getting ready to take my sons because of the debt that I owe. I don't know about you, but it can be $11.59.59, and they get ready to take your car. They may get ready to take your house, but you begin to remember what the word of God is saying unto you, and you begin to tell God, I'm commanding you concerning your word. And Elijah said, what do you have in your house? She said, I have nothing but a pot of oil. She looked at the pot of oil as being not enough. But God can take not enough, and he can make it more than enough. but she had to follow instructions to have what God wanted her to have. So as he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go borrow. Borrow there means to go ask your neighbors for some vessels. And I want you to begin to come back and borrow as many as you can. And I want you to shut the door behind you. And I want you to begin to pour the oil into those vessels. I'm here to tell you that God has poured out his Holy Spirit inside of you, which you are the vessel. And everything that you need, the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance the word of God and what he said. And as he poured into you, you poured out to someone else. So she began to pour, and she began to pour, and she began to ask, give me another vessel. They said it ain't no more. The oil stopped. But I believe if she had had more vessels, that oil would have kept going. It would have kept going. And the Bible says that this woman had more than enough. She paid her debt and then still had some to live off of. Look at this. They trusted God with what they had. And then God began to take me, even through the Bible, even the more with Ruth. Y'all know Ruth. Ruth left what she was familiar with to follow Naomi. She left her people. She left the God that she trusted in and believed in. She said, your people be my people. Your God be my God. Wherever you lay your head, that's where I'm going to lay my head. Wherever you die, that's where I'm going to die. Wherever you be buried, that's where I'm going to be buried. Meaning that I'm surrendering my life to you, Naomi, because I know that the God that you serve is a mighty God. So what did Ruth had to do? She had to give up herself. She had to deny herself. And then the thing is, when they got to where Naomi belonged, where she left because of a famine, when she went back to that place, God had a person in that place to look out for Ruth because of her faithfulness to Naomi. And this is what Ruth did. Now, Ruth could have been a proud person, but she went in those fields. And she gleaned behind the reapers. Why? Because in the Bible it tells the reapers to leave some for the poor. So Ruth wasn't ashamed to pick up leftovers. See, this is what I'm saying. Some of us are ashamed to pick up pennies, to pick up nickels, to pick up dimes. We are ashamed because we say it's not enough, but God will take the little and he'll make it much. She was not ashamed to go behind them and pick up, and she did it with honor. She did it with glory because she knew that my God is going to supply all of my needs. Because she told Naomi before she left, she said, I'll go in the field and I'll glean behind and I'll get favor. So she knew she had favor before she went. Come on, God has favored us. And when you know that you're favored, it don't matter what's in the bank, you can give God glory because you know that he's already done it and you're already in your wealthy place. He'll give you favor. So here she is gleaming. And then here comes Boaz. And Boaz began to see Ruth. And they begin to tell Boaz Ruth's story of what she did. And then Ruth, when Boaz told her, don't you glean behind them no more. He said, I want you to glean amongst them. I want you to be amongst them. And she said, how can you be so kind to a stranger? He said, because I heard what you done. Faith come by hearing. And hearing come by the word of God. He said, I heard how you left your people. I heard how you left this and that behind because of Naomi. You laid your life down. And this is what God is doing for you because he's rewarding you because you trusted him. This is what Boaz told Ruth. How are we going to know unless we trust him? How are you going to know that he's God unless you lay something down before him and give up what you don't want to give up? I guess people in this house said every time I turn around, she's talking about money. I ain't talking about money. I'm talking about what the word says. I'm talking about what the word says. And if you are in the word, you will know the word for yourself. That's why the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. the Lord. That means roll it over to him, trusting also in him, knowing that he shall bring it to pass. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to commit it, meaning, God, I put it in your hands. I commit this to you. Why do I commit it to you? Because I trust you enough to know, God, that it's already done. It may not look like it's done. I may not feel like it's done, but your word told me to give it to you. Come on, somebody. God's word said, I want you to commit that to me. That ain't for you to do. Your job is to trust me, knowing that it's already done. Not gonna be done, but it's already done. So when you commit it to me and you put it in my hands, you don't take it back out of my hands because I'm God. Then he began to show me. He had to take me through the Bible. I don't know about you, but sometimes you need a refresher course. Because when things hit you left and right and they're coming in, you got to have a refresher course. You got to go from the Bible from the back to the front, from the front to the back, and remind yourself of what God done. So as God was reminding me, he was just taking me through the word, showing me people in the Bible. And the thing was, the people that he was showing me in the Bible, they didn't have much. God said, but they took the little, and they trusted me with it. Because they knew I was God. And then God said, can you even trust me with your children? He said, because they are a gift from me. God said, don't you know that everything that you have had to come from me? He said, when you commit them in my hands, when you roll them over in my hands, he said, don't you know that I take care of them better than you? Don't you know that I am God? Don't you know I knew them before you knew them, before they were even in your womb? I called them out by name. He said, and you say, you trust me. He said, you say you trust me. I was reminded of this man that walked a high wire. And he would put this wire over Niagara Falls. And he walked over that high wire. And when he did it, he had his manager on his back. And the people saw what had just happened. So he asked the people. He said, I'm going to go cross with a wheelbarrow next. Do you believe I can do this? They said, yes, I believe you can do it. So they had faith in this man, knowing what he can do, because they saw what he could do. But then the next thing was, he said, who's going to get in the wheelbarrow? There was nobody. What is God saying today? It's the same thing with me, God said. God said, you say that you have faith in me. But when I ask you to give up something, nobody want to give nothing. That's just like you not doing it. Oh, I just want to just fall on the floor. Because he said you trust me. You have belief in me. Belief and trust got to go together. They hand in hand. You saying one thing, but you don't want to get in the wheelbarrow. There's a lot of you in here right now saying, Lord, Lord, but God said, you don't know me. You don't know me because when I asked you for something, you wouldn't question me. You would just say, yes, Lord. There was a man that we all familiar with. We talk about Father Abraham all the time. Oh, we talk about him so well. But then when it comes to us, we forget what Father Abraham had to do. The first thing, Apostle, that Father Abraham had to do was leave what he was familiar with. In Genesis 12, you had to know that he was talking with God. Because one day, God had to test him. He had to prove him because guess what? His daddy had money. His daddy had riches. Come on, you living in a rich man house. Now God is saying, I want you to come from under that roof, and I want you to serve me. I want you to leave everything you're familiar with. I want you to leave your money behind. I want you to leave your kin behind, and I want you to go where I'm going to tell you to go. Matter of fact, he didn't tell him yet. He just wanted him to trust me. Can you trust me enough, Abraham, to lay it and come and follow me. Can you trust me enough? And the word of God said that's what Abraham did. He left what he was familiar with. And God told him, this is what I'm going to do. But the first thing Abraham had to do was leave. And then when God had me to look at all of this, it was obedience. See, your obedience gets you your blessing that God has already provided. Some of you can't get the blessing even though it's already there because you ain't being obedient to the word of God. And you're wondering why some people are elevating, moving higher, and you still stagnated. You're still in the same place because God said obedience is better than sacrifice. I don't care how much you fast. I don't care how much you pray. What did the word tell you to do? God ain't going outside his word. Fasting and prayer go along with the word of God. You can deny yourself, but you ain't being obedient to the word. Ain't no point in you denying yourself. So Abraham left. Y'all know what happened to Abraham. God told him he would have a promise seed. And that seed would be Isaac. The man was old. Him and Sarah was old. But they still did what God said. I want you to come together. Come on, who would do that? What's the point? I'm past childbearing age. And Abraham, you ain't like you used to be. But because God said it, we're going to honor that. We're going to trust God enough to know that he created us. We didn't create ourselves. And if he said there's going to be a seed coming from you, then this is what we're going to do. We're going to keep on doing it until the Lord tells us not to do it no more. 25 years later. Can you imagine, Brother Darren? 25 years later, that old and talking about producing something that could not be produced. Somebody was saying, anybody got time for that? But they believed God. They were standing on his word. So when you believe God, you ain't got no choice but to trust him and do what he said. 25 years later, here come Isaac. Then we look in Genesis, what is it, 24? God had the audacity, after he trusted him, here he go again, here come testing time. Now I done gave you the seed. Now let's see if you're going to give it back. That's the only thing he had, evangelist. The only son, y'all ain't getting it. The only son he had that he had to wait 25 years to get, and now you're telling me to give you what I waited 25 years for? Guess what he did, though? Come on, Isaac, bring the wood for the fire. Can you imagine the son walking with you, daddy, saying, daddy, there's the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And I liked Abraham's answer. Son, God will provide. Look at that. Come on, who would say that? I probably would have been done hid the son, sent him to another country, borrowed the money to fly him over there, and say, see, can you find him now? Come on, we do that. When our children is in trouble, we try to hide evidence. We try to hide everything. We try to talk to the person with the evidence. But what did Abraham do? Trusted God. God said, I want you to take him. And told him where to take him. So they're on their way. And how about Abraham being obedient unto God, getting ready to kill his only son? And he did it because he said, if God kill him, he got to raise him up again. So he got ready to kill his son. Y'all know what happened. The angel of the Lord began to speak to Abraham and tell him not to touch that son. He said, because I got a ram in the bush. Why aren't you seeing your ram in the bush? Because you ain't trusting God. God can't show you his hand because you don't want to give up nothing. That's why he can't show you his hand. See, Abraham had to get out of the way. He had to let his feelings, his emotions, and everything get out of the way and say, God, I can't do nothing but trust you. So when God began to show me all of these people in the Word of God that trusted God, I said, God, these people trusted you with the little that they had. They trusted you with their children. They moved out of the way to trust you and only you, God. Then he showed me Jehoshaphat. This is stuff that we're familiar with. Jehoshaphat was up against a battle. several armies coming against him. But the first thing he did, he began to fast. He began to pray. He began to give God back his word. But the first thing he said at the end was, God, I don't know what to do. But my eyes are on you. That means Jehoshaphat was saying, I trust you. I don't know what to do. See, this is a place we got to get into. God, I don't have nothing but this. And it's not enough. I don't know what to do. But I take the little that I have, and I roll it over to you. I commit it unto you, because, God, I can't do nothing with it. It ain't going to do me no good. It won't pay this bill. It won't pay that bill. So, God, I'm just going to give it to you. And don't you know that's trusting God, because you're saying, God, I'm having no other God before you. I trust you more than I trust money. I trust you more than I trust myself. I trust you more than I trust man. Because you said, put no confidence in man. Don't make flesh your arm. So after God showed me all that, I said, God, what's up? Then why aren't we trusting you? God, we say we trust you, but why aren't we trusting you? He said, because you don't know I'm God. You don't have a relationship with me. You don't know I'm God. Because if you knew I was God and you had an intimate relationship with me, you would take me at my word. See, faith is belief, but trust is action. You can't hear his word and not do it. Because if you hear it and don't do it, you don't trust it. So he said, why are you saying my word? Why are you saying I trust you, but yet you ain't doing what I say? He said, no, you can't say you know me. He said, because if you knew me, you would know I had already worked it out before it came into being. God said, you would already know that I have already taken care of it before it even exists. God said, I know what you're in the need of even before you ask. He said, because I'm your father. Did you know I'm your father? Do you know I see everything before it happens? Do you know that everything that's going to occur in your life is already written? He said, you need to get to know me. That's what happened to these people in the Word of God. They got to know God, whether it was through people or through an experience they had on their own. They got to know him enough to say, you will not fail me. Why? Because you ain't man. The Bible says, what is it in Numbers 23? God is not man that he should lie. Let's just stop right there. Don't see God as being man. Man may tell you something right now and don't do it. But whatever God say, he said, I don't change my mind. He said, God is not man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he shall repent. Have I not said it? And shall I not do it? Have I not spoken it? And shall it not come to pass? He said, you're forgetting. I'm God. I'm the Almighty. I'm El Shaddai. I'm Elohim. I'm the Creator. I'm all-knowing, all-powerful. I'm everywhere. He said, I'm better than American Express. I'm better than MasterCard. I'm better than Visa, because you always owe them, but I done paid the price. And the one that's paid the price ain't the one that you're clinging to. You cling to American Express, Visa, MasterCard, Discovery, Capital One. Come on, I leave them all out. You cling to all of them. At the end of the day, you got to pay them or you going to the credit bureau. But God said, I paid the price. But yet you trust them more than you trust me. You will go to them and you will owe them, but don't have to owe me nothing. Oh, I got a little cash on American Express. So if I take that little cash off American Express, Apostle, debt paid.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. If you would like a copy of the teaching in its entirety, you may contact us at 866-907-6836. You may write us at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministry, Post Office Box 1042 Virgo, North Carolina, 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mcdm.org.